Indeed, may we live in that freedom, not only in this nation, but given to us by our Savior. Amen. We are continuing in a series here all summer long of going through 1 Corinthians. And we come to one of those chapters that maybe makes us squirm a little bit in the pew. Right? There's a lot of talk about sin here. And in particular, as we heard Milton read for us some time ago, this fairly serious focus on sexual sin. And that's not necessarily a topic that we are ever comfortable talking about in church, and we'll do our very best to look at it because it's in God's Word. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if the Word of God was all just sort of Disney-fied stories of all kinds of conquering, all kinds of wonderful news, nothing but sunshine and lights and little rainbows and, you know, the little pixie dust floating around and everyone lived happily ever after. Well, we know everyone gets to live happily ever after because of Jesus. But we also know that he had to do an awful lot of work, an awful lot of suffering, an awful lot of teaching, an awful lot of redeeming to get us messy sinners out of that place. And I think one of the reasons why 1 Corinthians is worth studying is because as it's really the church Paul wrote the most to, because it was a church that Jesus loved, that Paul loved, but that also struggled so much. Maybe it was because of those struggles that God and Jesus and Paul loved them that much more. They needed some extra grace to get them through so many things. But I want to start first with Jesus before we turn and look at the Corinthians. You know, when Jesus gave his first public sermon of all, he quoted from the passage in Isaiah that our Old Testament reading is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to send me forth to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. I think one thing I hope we all remember on this Independence Day in our country is that you have to be free to proclaim freedom. You have to be free in order to offer freedom. And Jesus alone was that free person, free and untainted from sin, who could offer that gift of freedom to the woman bound by Satan for those 18 years, hunched over and in pain and agony all of that time, to you and I, bent over and hunched with all of our sins and all of our struggles. And so he offers that to that woman in that way that made offense to the Pharisees and the synagogue leaders who wanted things done the right way. And Jesus wanted to give the right gift, freedom, to overcome sin, to overcome bentness, to overcome all the ways that we are crippled. He offered that to her. He offers it to us to make us strong, straight, oaks of righteousness. And one of the things that I think can be in common for us, as it was in common for the people there in the Corinthian church, is the realization of just how important it is not to tolerate sin. You heard Paul talk about that, right? That a little bit of yeast in the batch ruins the whole thing. Let's think of it as homeowners for a moment. When you notice as you're doing the lawn, a corner of your house being gnawed on by those little creepy crawly termites, you could just go, it's just a corner. It's no big deal. I've got 1,800 square feet. Let them have a few. We could tolerate the termites. And pretty soon, you'll have walls falling down. It might take 6 months. It might take 6 years. But if you tolerate termites, the house will come down. In the same way, if we see little cockroaches running around, we go, two or three, no big deal. But pretty soon, you'll find all of your food contaminated. You'll find your house completely infested. Pretty soon, instead of just two or three on the floor, you'll feel two or three running across your face as you're lying in bed at night. Ugh. When we think of it that way, and then we think of sin, why would we tolerate it? Why would we allow a little bit of sin to hang around in our lives and let it eat away like termites? Let it creep us out like cockroaches? And now we have to pause, because it's so easy for us to turn our little sin detectors and point them out there. Oh, that sinful world. Those horrible people shooting each other, robbing each other, beating each other up, abusing children. Those horrible people out in the world committing all of those sins, including, as Corinthians, 1 Corinthians talks to us about, sexual sins. But the thing was, Paul was not pointing out to those people out in the world. He was pointing inside the church. It's very important for us to notice that we can't go around with our little sin detectors pointing out everyone else out there and miss the sin that's on the inside. The sin of pride. The sin of thinking that, well, because I go to church and I get my sins forgiven every week, I can sin away all the rest of the days. We so much, so very much need to realize it is no business of ours to judge what happens outside in the world. As much as what we hear in the news may grieve us, may make us aware that society and even at times our own country seems to be crumbling, gnawed away by a tolerance of sin, even a celebration of sin. But outside of prayers of intercession for our nation or for others that we hear about in the news or elsewhere, where our real focus is to be is on the inside. Looking first with our sin detectors at ourselves. Here there's a lot of talk about sexual sin, but Jesus himself reminded us it isn't just acts, it's also thoughts. If someone looks at another person in lust, they are already committing adultery in their hearts, Jesus tells us. But why would we tolerate any sin? Let alone sexual sin. Why would we let the termites, the rust, the creepiness of sin and cockroaches, why would we let it grow? We wouldn't let cancer grow inside of us. We'd go to a doctor to seek healing and treatment. We wouldn't let weakness exist on inside of us. And yet, within the church, and even within our own lives, sometimes we just go, well, maybe it's just better left alone. It'll sort itself out. Someone else will talk about it. Someone else can deal with it. Or in the case of our own, well, as long as nobody else knows and nobody else gets hurt. And we make all of our excuses. Paul is so aware that if sin is allowed to grow, it taints and corrupts and gnaws away at the whole body. Here, not only, though, do we need to remember about sexual sin, as he points out, but he also says that we are not to associate, we are not to tolerate people who are greedy, idolaters, slanderers, drunkards, or swindlers. It is also those other sins, not just sexual sins, which sometimes the church seems very fixated on with our sin detectors. It is all those other ways that we fall short of the glory of God and the word of God. And it's when we fall short and we see it in ourselves, we realize how bent we still are, that we come and seek the Savior and the grace poured out for us on the cross, who would release us as he did the woman in today's gospel reading, who would not only release us, but who then, as we are set free, help us to set others free. Sometimes the step to helping others free is simply to relieve the guilt and shame they feel of their sin as we proclaim the gospel to them. Sometimes we have to point out the sin to them and the awareness of how that is binding them up and pulling them away from the real life and freedom that is Christ's. All I know is that in this day, in this nation, when we celebrate our freedom, that it isn't just freedom to do whatever we want. You hear again in that Old Testament reading that we are called and anointed to proclaim good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives. There is nowhere in that phrase where we can do whatever we want. And the Apostle Paul encountered that attitude in 1 Corinthians, and perhaps we can also realize it in ourselves when you hear someone say, "I have the right to do anything." Think of all those who argued for their rights to not have to wear a mask, and how much longer this pandemic went on, how many more people suffered and died because of people standing up for their rights as opposed to stand for proclaiming freedom, true freedom that would serve others, would build up others, warn others, rescue others, and speak grace to others. We have to know that God was and still is serious about sin. As our epistle reading said today, as our reading from 1 Corinthians, God will destroy the sinner. He is the one who bought us with his own blood, who wants us united with himself in his spirit. He is the one who says that we are not our own. We are free, but our freedom was bought at a cost. And that freedom is to be used to glorify God, to serve others, to share his freedom and his peace with all that we meet. May we do that this Independence Day and all of our days. May we, with our little sin detectors, always be turning to him so we can be grace receivers. And may God be glorified in it all. Amen.